If you have your Bibles, please open them with me at Colossians 1 as we look at these verses tonight. I had mentioned Karen and Rhonda in our prayers earlier there, but earlier in this year, they were here sharing about the work of Calvary Mission in County Mayo. And we heard much about the work of that church in Westport, but also about a number of other churches that have been planted in the nearby areas, such as Castlebar and Ballina and places like Claremorris. Most of us have probably never been to these churches or maybe even to these places in that part of Ireland. We don't know the people there. But as we hear the good news of the gospel is being shared, as we hear about the work that is going on there, I wonder, do we have a burden to pray for those people, especially for those new converts and for their Christian life? Not only praying about people to be saved and for the work to keep going on, of course we want to do that, but praying for those who have come to know the Lord Jesus. Do we pray for their growth, for their maturity? Do we pray for them as they will face challenges to their faith and different things that are going around in a very secular society in that part of the world? Well, that's quite similar to the scene of what we have here in Colossians 1 tonight, because this was one of many letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to encourage and to instruct churches in the way that they should live as followers of Christ. But one of the differences about this letter was, and with this church, was that Paul had never actually been there to see them. He didn't know these people who he was writing to in Colossae. Because in verse 7 there, we see that the church was established through the preaching of this man called Epaphras. He was converted under Paul's ministry in Ephesus. So that's about 100 miles away from there. But he's heard the gospel, he's been saved, and he's then returned back to his hometown and preached the gospel there. This church has been formed. It's in its early days. Believers were still young in their faith. Of course, there was many encouragements coming out of that church. But Epaphras also had some concerns. And so he went to meet Paul, and in chapter 4, verse 12, Paul makes clear that Epaphras is still there with him. He has gone to see him, and he's there at the time of writing this letter. So he's obviously been filling Paul in on what is going on in the church, telling them about all that is going on. And we see that here in verse 9, as Paul says, "And so from the day we heard." So what's he heard? Well, in verse 4, he heard of their faith in Jesus Christ and the love for all their saints. In verses 5 and 6, he heard that they understood the word of truth, the gospel, and it was bearing fruit in their life. So positive things. But he's also heard about the threat of false teaching and the dangers that were going to take them away from the truth, possibly. Because later on in chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." See, although these Christians, these people were saved, they understood the gospel, they knew the truth, some were being persuaded by this false teaching that was going on. These people were telling them that they needed some sort of additional special knowledge that they could give them for this fullness of life. And we see that term mentioned many times throughout Colossians. You see, we still see that today, don't we? That many people in society are telling us that they have a secret to a better life. They say that you just need to be true to yourself. Be who you think you are. Whatever you want to be true to that. And then you will have a full life. You'll be happy. You will have all you need. You'll be complete. See, Christianity and the Bible are said to be irrelevant in today's age. And although we may know these things aren't true, although we would kick against this so often, this constant bombardment by these things that we're hearing in society and the news and all around us, they do have an influence so often. Young Christians especially may start to question if the Bible is actually true or not. They maybe wonder whether they actually should believe it. They may be thinking that there's a different way to go to follow Christ, that they need to be getting some sort of additional things, or that there's a better way to have this fullness and to have it right now. See, there are still these things that are trying to take people away from the truth. But how do we as a church respond to that? Well, let's look at what Paul does here. How does he respond to what he has heard? Well, of course, he's taken action. He's written this letter to them. He's instructing them on how they should live and what they should do. Even though he's far from them, he's practically offering support and guidance to this church. But at the heart of the response here from Paul is prayer, as we see in verse 9. He says, "From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." As you read through many of Paul's letters, he quite often starts out by saying that, doesn't it? He has not stopped giving thanks in prayer. Or constantly, "I remember you in my prayer at all times." Now, it's impossible for Paul to always be praying for all of these churches all at the same time, isn't it? But these churches are clearly on Paul's mind, especially as he prays. And I think there's the sense here that he is regularly praying for these churches and for the people there. He doesn't just hear of their need and offer up a quick prayer and then forget about them and let that be that. No, week in, week out, he has not ceased to pray for these churches and for the people in them. It's as though he's added this church in Colossae onto his prayer list so that he would remember them, so that he would be faithful in doing that. He continues to be constant in prayer. You might have heard the phrase that a preacher should have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other as they prepare to preach. But I read recently an article which encouraged elders to have the Bible in one hand and the congregational list in the other as they pray. It's quite a good thought that we should be praying for the people in our church, especially elders who are to shepherd the flock, who are to pray for their protection, for their growth and maturity. They're playing a crucial part as they do that. But that doesn't only apply to elders, it applies to each one of us who claim to be Christians. Because I think as a church, we can be very good at praying for those who are outside the kingdom, praying for people to be saved. And of course, we want to do that. That's vital, and we must continue to do that. But following Paul's example here, we should be regularly praying for Christians over a long period of time. We should be constant in it, whether it's for people in County Mayo or for people in Drumrea or in Drumore. We should be praying for believers. And so that's what we see here in verses 9 to 11, where Paul's petitioning God for these Christian believers. He's upholding them in prayer. If I was to ask you to list three or four things that you would pray for another Christian, maybe if you're looking at the people around you tonight, what would you pray for other Christians? I don't know what you put on that list, but I think quite often we're prone to jump in for practical needs, aren't we? We might pray for someone's health issues, for that sore big toe or whatever it may be. Or maybe for a particular practical problem. Maybe the family is going through an issue and you're wanting to pray for their family that they'll come through that. Or maybe for a difficult situation at their workplace and the struggles that they have there. Of course, we don't want to neglect these things, and I'm not trying to trivialize any of these. But sometimes without realizing it, we actually pray that God would somehow grant a life where people don't have these difficulties. For all of these things are just stripped away, and everything will be a wonderful life. Maybe in your list of three or four things, you would have some spiritual things on it. Maybe you pray that people would grow closer to the Lord. Maybe that they would have a deeper faith, that they would be strengthened. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but I think sometimes we can fail to have a clear focus in our prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we? I think especially when we're thinking about in terms of spiritual maturity and growth, we sometimes fail to know how to pray or what to ask for. Well, that certainly can't be said about Paul's prayer here in verse 9 on. Look at what he says here. He asked God that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. This is no small or trivial thing that Paul's asking here, is it? He's got a clear purpose in what he's praying here. He prays that these people would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Of course, he's not praying that they would walk in a manner to become worthy of the Lord. There's no way that any of us can earn salvation or earn that favor with the Lord by how we live our lives. Don't be mistaken here. Because Paul said in Ephesians, it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. See, Paul knows these Colossians have received God's grace. Their faith in Christ is known as he addresses them as saints. But his prayer is that now that they have received this grace, they should walk in a manner that reflects that in their daily lives. He desires that they live lives that express what God has already done for them in Christ Jesus. I wonder tonight, is that work of grace apparent in how you and how I live our lives? Is it apparent that we are walking in a worthy manner as someone who has been saved? Paul goes on in his prayer to add that this is to be fully pleasing to him, or as the NIV puts it there, to please him in every way. Sometimes the impression that Christians God gives off doesn't look very pleasing, does it? Sometimes we can walk about with a very sour-looking face, and people might say, oh, there they go again. They're never happy. Or maybe we become so focused on trying to walk that worthy walk that it's just become a chore to us. And it looks like a chore on our faces as we just seem to be so down about everything. It seems to be such hard work to continue in the faith. What a burden. Sinclair Ferguson comments that if our walk with the Lord is a burden that drags us down, then it will never please us or God. See, Paul doesn't want their lives in Christ to be a chore or to be a burden, but he wants them to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that's what he's praying for these people here. If we've come to know Christ and we know that fullness of life in him, then our lives have been changed. And it should be clear for all to see. We'll want to take pleasure in him. We'll want to show that in the way that we live our lives. And the way that we go about our work, that should be apparent. And the way that we speak within our family or to our neighbors, and the way that we interact with others, it should be so clear that we are rejoicing in Christ. Of course, the Christian life isn't always full of smiles. There are challenges. There's difficulties. As that church in Colossae found out themselves, there's things that take away our focus from God. There's things that try to get us to put our hopes and our dreams and our pleasures in other things. So that's why, like Paul, we must pray for other Christians to continue to pursue that life that is pleasing to God, to enjoy him. We want to pray that for others. We want to have that in our own lives, but for our brothers and sisters around us. It all sounds very good, doesn't it, that we just pray for that and that'll be wonderful and everything will be great. Well, that's not what Paul says here, because this doesn't stand alone. Look at verse 9 again. To continue to live this worthy life is tied in with the fact that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, these things go together here. It makes sense, really. If you want to know how to walk in a worthy manner, then you have to have the knowledge and the understanding of how to do that. It's like when you're driving a car, you know you're supposed to keep it between the hedges, aren't you? And preferably to the left of the white line. You stop at the red traffic light, you go in the green, and when you see a 30, you slow down, or 60, you go at that speed, and so on. See, if you want to drive a car in the right way on the public road, you need to know the highway code. But you also need to have the wisdom to know how to put that into practice. I think that's what Paul is saying here, that when he prays for him to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, he seems to be asking that this would be a continuous filling with a deep knowledge of God, to have a great understanding of his ways. It's as though a tap's left on and it's just filling a cup and it keeps overflowing and overflowing from a continuous source that will never end. It's a complete filling up. Psalm 1, as we read and sang earlier, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. See, God has revealed his will for our lives in and through his word. And so if we've been saved by God's grace, if we want to walk in that worthy way according to his will, then we will get into his word at any and every opportunity. And so we pray that for other Christians, we pray that for ourselves, that we will fill our minds with his truth. We pray that we will listen to it carefully as it's read and as it's preached. We pray that each one of us would ask questions of it, that we would get into it and grapple with it and seek to understand these doctrines and truths that are found in it, so that we might be a man or a woman that is shaped by God's word in everything that we do in our lives. But this isn't just to be merely a pursuit of knowledge or something we can learn in our own effort. Paul's not saying here, just get your thinking caps on and, well, you'll be able to know how to live a worthy life of God. Get your thinking caps on and you'll be able to know his will. No, that's not what he's saying here. We can know much but still have little wisdom or understanding. You might know the highway code inside out, but if you don't have the wisdom to know how to put the car into gear, you're not going to go very far. See, it's only when our lives have been transformed through Christ and the Holy Spirit is at work in us that this truth is rightly applied to our lives. See, Jeremiah 31 talks about that new covenant and how God will put his law within his people and write it on their hearts. Or in Romans 12, Paul speaks there of their spiritual act of worship. And he says there that you are to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So we want to pray for ourselves and for other Christians that God would plant his word deep in our hearts and in our lives, that he would renew our minds each day so that we would bear so much more fruit as we live in light of that. So that we would be able to live through those dangers, toils, and snares, as the hymn would say. Of course, we can never know all there is to know about God. Our minds can't contain all there is to know about his grace and his mercy and the love that was shown in Christ. But as Paul prayed for these people, we do want to see that continual filling, that continual increase in our knowledge and understanding of the God who we serve and who we love. Asking that God would supply that spiritual wisdom as we look to his word and as we know it. So that when we face those difficult situations, it will be an instinct that we can turn to God's word, that we will know how to walk in those ways because it has been planted deep in our lives. That is how we walk in God's ways. That is how we know his will in our lives. See, Paul knows that continuing to be filled with this knowledge and to walk in his ways is something we must seek after. But he also knows it's not easy. It's difficult to do that and to keep doing that. And so he prays in verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Most of you now will have a smartphone. You probably use it for many things throughout the day, many apps and certain things on it. But as you use it throughout the day, it starts to put a load on the battery, doesn't it? The battery starts to deplete. It drains quite quickly if certain apps are played more than others. So as you come to near the end of the day, that battery is low. The screen maybe starts to have a lesser function. It's not as bright as it once was. It's not quite what it should be. But when you take that phone and you plug it in to the mains electricity supply, it has full power. It's able to work as it should because that power is unlimited. And so that's what we see here. Paul is praying for these Christians that they would be plugged in to that unlimited power source. Not electricity, but into God's glorious might. Because he is the Almighty God. His power is infinite. And he prays for this power for two main reasons here. He says that they would endure and have patience. And these words give us a bit of a clue as to why these people in this church needed this power. If you think about that word endurance, it's a word that means that you keep going through difficult times, trying circumstances. Sometimes used as a military term to describe how they would continue to remain faithful even when they are hard-pressed by their enemies. Because you see, Paul is very aware of the opposition that this church was facing. He's very aware of the opposition he faced in his own life since he came to follow Christ. We're told in God's word that we will face hardship as Christians. And even though this church in Colossae was in its early years, these people were already facing oppositions, they were facing challenges. They needed to endure. They needed to persevere through these challenges. But in these sort of situations, maybe you're going through challenges at this time in your own life, sometimes we can think that if we just grit our teeth, we can have enough determination to get through it on our own, don't we? Sometimes we think we've the power to get over the line, and if we get through this, we'll be all right. But that's not the sort of endurance that Paul's praying for here. He's praying that they would tap into this almighty power supply of God that they already have access to in Christ. See, none of us can endure the challenges and difficulties of this life by ourselves. I know that, and you know that. Many of you can give testimony to that as you've come through many things. I know as I go through and visit people and see in pastoral situations, there are many challenges and difficulties that you have come through in your life, and many of you can give testimony that it's only by God's strength that you have come through them. And so we continue to pray that God would strengthen us, to give us that endurance, that we would keep going, that we would keep walking in that manner that is worthy of the Lord, even in such dire situations. We keep going with endurance because we pray for God's strength to bring us through it. But this prayer for strength is also tied in with patience here. And sometimes in a house with small children, you need to pray a lot for patience, especially when they're tired. You pray, Lord, give me strength that I would have patience. And that word is literally translated as long-suffering. It's this sense that it should take you a long time to become angry or frustrated with someone in a certain situation. And so as these Colossian Christians were facing false teaching, that they could receive this fullness of life some other way, many people reacted angrily, I'm sure, against that. I know when I hear false teaching, I know when I hear people trying to twist God's word, it pushes my buttons, and sometimes I want to react against that when I need to be patient and think carefully about my words that I'm about to speak. But others in this church may have been frustrated that they weren't actually experiencing this fullness right now. They knew they were in Christ, but they knew that they hadn't experienced the complete fullness of it. And I think there can be that frustration within us as Christians. Because in Christ, we're told that there is the fullness of joy. There is richness to this life. But yet we can't fully experience that this side of eternity. Because before Christ returns, we're still living in this sinful and broken world where we can't experience that in all its glory and wonder. And sometimes we can become frustrated that we aren't able to experience that right now. However, we know that day by day, by the power of His Spirit, God is completing that work within us and in His world. He's sanctifying us and He's filling us with that knowledge and wisdom and understanding that is shaping us to be who He wants us to be. And so as we put away those sinful ways in our lives, as we try to cut them out, He is enabling us to walk in that manner that is worthy of the Lord. He is at work in us. And you see, Paul has this real focus in this letter to the Colossians, because he says in verse 28 that he's teaching everyone with all wisdom that he may present everyone mature in Christ. There's this desire for these people to be mature, to be sanctified, to be holy, to be more like their Savior. And we must be patient as God continues to do that work in us. It doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't just happen by our own strength or our own effort either. But we pray that God would strengthen us and enable us to walk in those ways patiently as we see Him transforming us more and more each day to be more like our Savior. We pray for that strength to be patient. So as I come to a close, Paul has prayed for much for these people. He also prays here at the end for their joy and their thankfulness. We'll look more at thankfulness next week. But you see, living the Christian life is not something that we just want to get through. It's not something we just want to slog out because we know there is glory awaiting us. But it is to be a life that's filled with joy and thankfulness. And that does only come when we know that work of grace in our lives. When we're filled with that knowledge of His will, so that we can walk in that way that is worthy of our Lord, pleasing to Him and enjoying Him. That joy comes as we recognize God strengthening us each day by His unlimited, mighty power. And it is that strength, that power that brings about that endurance, that patience as we continue to walk in His ways, even through challenging circumstances. So brothers and sisters here tonight, let us pray for one another. Let us pray for the church, these things that we've heard tonight, that as a church we might continue to walk in His ways, a way that is worthy of the Lord our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word once again to us. And Lord, we thank You for this prayer that Paul had prayed for that church in Colossae, Lord, how he desired for them to come to maturity. Lord, he had that desire for them to be filled with that knowledge of You and to know Your will and Your direction for their lives. And we thank You that it is through Your word that we are guided and directed in the way that we should walk. But Lord, we know that it is only by the power of Your Spirit at work in us and through Your word that we know that true wisdom and understanding of it. And so, Lord, we pray for one another here tonight, Lord, that You would continue to fill us with that knowledge, that day by day we would seek to know more of You and Your ways. Lord, may our walk with You be pleasing to You. May it be worthy of that calling that You have placed on our lives as we seek to follow our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that as He has saved us by His grace, we have been changed. We have been given that new status, and so we seek to walk in it. But Lord, we pray that You would give us patience each day, that You would give us the strength to endure as You continue that work in us, bringing us through many challenges, many trials and difficulties in our life. May we continue to uphold one another in prayer as we see the needs of each other around us, as we all seek to continue to walk in Your ways. So Lord, continue to help us to do that in this week ahead. And may You guide us and lead us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We join to sing our